listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, the Reverend Larry Vogel, Associate Executive Director for the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Larry, welcome to His Time.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you in studio today and talking about some recent discussions, recent conversations. CTCR has conversations, a lot of conversations. You probably spend a lot of time talking and reading, I bet, on the CTCR.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of research and then discussing that, having conversations and finding commonalities, finding where we have things in common and what we need to research and study more.
Well, yeah, there's two parts to the commission's name. We are the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, and mm-hmm. on the theology side, it's the work of study and also producing, facilitating, writing, presenting mm-hmm. material, everything from CTCR reports to opinions to study documents and so forth that are either requested or in some cases mandated by the Synod. Or some of the officers of Synod. And then the other part is church relations, which is the bailiwick that that we're kind of dealing with here because of the conversations with the Anglican Church in North America. We kind of share in that responsibility. The president has a staff member, Dr. Albert Culver, who's the director of church relations. And Dr. Culver has all kinds of direct connections with churches around the world and also here in the U.S., but the CTCR, by virtue of the handbook and the bylaws of Synod, is also directly involved in all matters of church relations. So we're in both camps, if you will.
So recently, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Lutheran Church Canada, and the Anglican Church in North America met for dialogue, for conversations. What prompted that? This is in a series of
yes,
conversations.
The conversations actually have their genesis in 2009. At that time, the Anglican Church in North America was established. The Anglican Church in North America, or ACNA, consists of a number of different entities, if you will. First of all, there are some long-standing Anglican groups that are part of the ACNA, for instance, the Reformed Church in America, which goes all the way back to the 19th century. It's one of the constituting parts of the ACNA. In addition, several entire dioceses left the Episcopal Church over theological and theological issues and questions of moral teaching that dissension had been growing in the ranks of worldwide Anglicanism and in the Episcopal Church here in the U.S. For a number of years. And several different dioceses left and a number of congregations left. In addition, finally, there were some independent Anglican churches that had been established, some of which were linked to bishops in Africa, for instance, for their kind of connection to the wider Anglican communion. Mm-hmm. And that kind of group of various entities from a denomination to a diocese to individual congregations and individual priests came together in 2009. And at that time, they invited the LCMS to send a representative and Dr. Sam Nafsker, who was at that time the director of church relations for the LCMS, attended their constituting gathering convention. I don't recall the exact name for it. That's where things started because he was very warmly received. And shortly thereafter, a local Anglican pastor made connections with an LCMS congregation, and that Anglican pastor and that LCMS pastor paid a visit to the Synod headquarters, and that LCMS pastor, Dr. Fred Bowie, brought the idea, which was actually coming from Anglican circles, that it would be good if our church bodies talked. We saw each other as having lots in common, and so the start of things goes all the way back to that time, and we met shortly thereafter and have continued to meet twice yearly since then.
And that brings the question, why dialogue? What could be potential outcomes of such dialogue?
Well, first of all, the most obvious why is because they asked and we accepted. But they asked because they saw something happening in American Christianity that I think we all see at this point. And it's, first of all, a marked change in the character of churches and church bodies. 50, 60 years ago, if you asked what churches we had lots and lots in common with, they would have been other Lutheran churches. Today, sadly, we have more in common with many non-Lutheran churches than we do with, frankly, a church like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We have more in common in terms of our acceptance of the authority of Holy Scripture. We have more in common in terms of our realization that the historic teachings of the church remain valid and true as they always have been. And we certainly have more in common when it comes to the understanding of a number of moral questions that our society is facing and areas where change is rampant in America today.
Do the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Lutheran Church Canada, and the Anglican Church North America have any shared history or any similarities in our history that that have been uncovered in these conversations?
Well, yes and no. The most basic point would be we have a shared history in the Reformation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the 16th century Reformation that began in Germany spread throughout Europe, including England. And Luther's teachings were quite influential for some time in England. A number of English clergy came to Wittenberg to study. Robert Barnes, for instance, would be one example. And then returned back to England, and they were convinced of the truth of what Wittenberg, Luther, and company were asserting on the basis of God's word. And so Luther and the German Reformation quickly had a direct influence on the Reformation in England. Having said that, however, the course of the Reformation in Germany and the course of the Reformation in England were not by any means the same. Mm-hmm. Over time, there was more Reformed influence in the church in England. In addition, from its kind of early on, the Anglican Church was a church under Henry VIII already, which had a much more of a political position within the English state and government than even with state churches in Germany, the Lutheran Church ever had.
In these conversations, what have you learned that we have more to study, more to discuss, more to find out if we are even close on some of these topics?
Well, we've done a lot of joint study and talking in our meetings and conversations. As people will see if they read our report, mm-hmm. On Closer Acquaintance, which was just issued recently by all three church bodies, the report of the dialogue participants illustrates the wide level of agreement between our churches in historic teachings on everything from the Trinity to the atoning work of Christ to the authority of Scriptures to the sacraments in many respects. However, there are also points of difference that we have discovered and that we have talked about and will continue to talk about. Lutherans and Anglicans do not have identical teachings on the Lord's Supper, for instance. Anglicanism historically has had a broader umbrella with regard to acceptable teachings and understandings of the Lord's Supper than Lutherans have had. It has been encouraging for us, however, on that topic, to see the extent to which our counterparts from the ACNA seek to return to a much more what we would say solidly realistic understanding of the mm-hmm. Lord's Supper, that it is what Christ says it is. It is his body and blood which we eat and drink for our soul's salvation. At the same time, they would acknowledge, we would as well, that this is an area where we haven't reached unanimous accord by any means. The other major area, I think, that that we have talked about but will need to continue talking about is the understanding of the ministry. Anglicanism historically gives great attention and significance to episcopacy, as mm-hmm. you can tell from the name for the church here in the U.S. historically, the right. Episcopal Church, whereas the Lutheran tradition, while it doesn't deny that bishops can play a role, does not see the office of bishop as Anglicanism understands it to be an essential mm-hmm. office. We do not come to the table with similar attitudes on that question.
Overall, what has been most encouraging from these conversations?
I would say a couple of things. First of all, the unswerving desire to be faithful to the Word of God. These folks, they came out in large measure, most of them, at great sacrifice from the Episcopal Church. Many of their priests, some of the ones that we've talked to, left the Episcopal Church, and with that left behind salaries, mm-hmm. retirement plans, a lot of money. They left with churches that lost their property. So they left with a congregation without any facilities, or in some cases, a mm-hmm. part of a congregation. They did that because they were convinced that they had to be faithful to the Word of God, and they were not willing to compromise their own consciences or the spiritual well-being of the people that they served any longer. That's been so gratifying to experience firsthand and to see that sort of firm fidelity to the Word of God. I think in addition, it's just the encouragement of having fellow Christians who are deeply committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and doing so in a way that that has, I'm not sure what to call it, maybe some historical authenticity. They're not a church that is running away from mm-hmm. or from the small C Catholic tradition. They're not a church that is running away from the beauty of the liturgy. And yet at the same time, they are firmly and deeply committed to evangelism, to outreach, to planting new congregations. These are great encouragement to us, and something that I think we're not only appreciating but benefiting from.
Lastly, any plans for future conversations?
Yeah, we've committed ourselves, as of our last meeting, we sort of, in a way you could say, we brought a round of discussions to conclusion at our last meeting here in St. Louis just a few weeks ago. But one of the topics of that meeting and one of the decisions that came out of that meeting was that we will continue to meet on a twice-yearly basis for the next triennium. And we will do so with a full agenda of items that we want to study and discuss together. The next meeting will be in Canada, hosted by the Lutheran Church Canada at their seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario. And the topic is going to be the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. That's an area where we do have some differences, just in terms of how we number them, for instance, perhaps some differences also in understanding, although that's the point of these discussions, mm-hmm. just to dig into the Word of God, to dig into the teachings of our churches and see where we line up and where we don't, and where in some cases we can benefit each other mutually, and where in other cases we can attempt to persuade one another of this point or another one. So that's what lies ahead immediately.
The Reverend Larry Vogel, Associate Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thanks. It's been an honor.